Of the Scorebook Live Today podcast. It's July 24th. The Scorebook Live Washington team is fresh off of a trip from the Washington coast, and we are ready to talk more 4A league previews for football. We're getting more and more excited for the football season. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter at Scorebook Live, and on the line is Todd Millis. Todd, did you get some of that ocean air? Did that refresh you in this mid-July, late July stretch here?
Yeah, you know, since we're going to preview about 300 schools in the state of Washington before the end of August, early September, I think we needed any refreshment we can get, so... if it wasn't for the beatdown you gave me on the golf course, it would have been a total relaxation or total very relaxing trip to the ocean. You know, in any case, I had a good time, and now I'm ready to start talking some football.
Yeah, I don't know if two strokes is what you consider a beatdown, but I'll take it. I'll take anything I can get.
Nope. All right.
So we got two pretty sizable news items from the last week in Washington high school sports. And then we're going to jump in after that to two league previews. And these are two of the most compelling leagues at any classification across the state, the 4A Greater St. Helens League and the 4A South Puget Sound League. Before we get to those league previews, Hawkinson, standout wide receiver, three-star University of Washington commit, Sawyer Racanelli, who led the Hawks to two straight 2A state titles, has torn his ACL. He's out for his senior season. The Hawkinson Hawks were the favorites with Racanelli coming back to a three-peat. Racanelli being injured, which was first reported by the Columbian last week. You know, it significantly changes the landscape in 2A. He was, you know, one of the top two, three players in the state in 2A. And now, unfortunately for Washington High School football fans, we won't be able to see him. Todd, what does this do for a Hawkinson team that, you know, loses their best guy but still brings back some weapons?
Yeah, I still think Hawkinson, in my preseason top 10 rankings, I would still have Hawkinson at number one, just based on what the Hawks have accomplished the past two seasons. Obviously, this tightens things up. I think Steilacoom's there. I think Tumwater's there. I think those three teams are really close to one another. But it puts a lot more pressure on Brammer. Puts a lot more pressure on Crum. I mean, that could be a really lethal. That could arguably become the most lethal passing combination in the state this year. It wouldn't surprise me if Brammer, if he stays healthy and he's coming off his own injury last fall, if he's approaching somewhere in the 1,600, 1,800, maybe even looking at 2,000 receiving yards, that's how much I think Hawkinson's going to rely on him deep in the passing game. But yeah, this changes things a lot. And I've mentioned this before with you in passing. Yeah, I mean, Racanelli is a fantastic receiver. He's a really good middle-of-the-field defender at linebacker. But the part that kind of gets overlooked here, and we saw it in the fourth quarter of the state championship game, is what does this do to their Wildcat package? When you take out your biggest, strongest, best athlete in the backfield who can rumble for 7, 8, 10, 12 yards a pop anytime he wants, now what does that do? It takes an aspect from their secondary offense. Secondary playbook aspect. It almost takes it out of the offense unless they find somebody who has the same attributes as Sawyer to be able to find holes in the line and is strong enough to pull people with him. And maybe they find that person here in the next month or so. But I'm very curious to see how Coach Steele and that staff sort of goes about the secondary parts of their playbook. They relied a lot on the trick plays in the secondary playbook, the Wildcat stuff, to get back into some of those close games in the playoffs that were really important in their title, their second championship quest.
Yeah, no question. And I think what you were originally referencing was, you know, last year in the 2A state title game against Linden, which Hawkinson won by like a touchdown, Linden was really effective of taking away the deep ball. Peyton Brammer was out. Typically, Hawkinson had, you know, Brammer 6'5", you know, really, really fast, really dangerous in the air. You had two lethal downfield threats on opposite sides lining up at wide receiver. And with just one of them, you know, Linden was able to neutralize Hawkinson downfield. Now, having a guy like Sawyer, he ran for 5 touchdowns and broke the, you know, 2A state title single season record for rushing touchdowns. You know, they lose that weapon this year. So it would be short-sighted to say that it's not going to have an effect on him. You know, that being said, returning a 3-year starter in 6'5", you know, Peyton Brammer, you have sophomore Liam Mallory that's going to replace Racanelli, who, you know, as a freshman, he was subbed into the state title game last year, had a really strong game. He's got a really bright future for Hawkinson. And then you have, you know, Speedy Jr. and Mikhail Juarez, who's going to replace, you know, Mallory in the slot. So you're just going to see some different things from a Hawkinson team that, you know, at the 2A level, where they just have more weapons than they can beat you in more ways than a lot of 2A teams can.
Yeah, we're going to see how Brammer responds to double teams very, very quickly, because I would assume that's what defensive coordinators are going to go into every week. That's the number one guy that they want to take away. So I would assume Brammer is going to get a lot of bracket coverage wherever he lines up on the field. So we're going to see very, very early next season how they handle it and adjust, and more particular how he handles it.
You saw last week folks around the state really weighing in on this news about Hawkinson. You know, Kennedy Catholic outside linebacker Savelle Smalls, who's, you know, one of the top players in the country, tweeting his support to Racanelli. Racanelli's going up to, as the Columbian reported, going up to UW to get his surgery. He's obviously a UW commit and committed in May. And, you know, I exchanged some texts with him last week, and he said that, you know, he's just asking the question, are you going to enroll early in the spring? And he said he doesn't think he's going to, because he just wants to get 100% healed before he gets there. Still getting his surgery done up there. But certainly the one of the biggest stories of the offseason in, you know, across all classifications in Washington high school football. So a big news item at the top. The second is Kyle Russell, a standout baseball player, class of 2020, originally committed to Oregon. He is now going to Wazoo. He's staying in state with the news of Oregon firing head coach George Horton. Todd, you wrote the story up on Scorebook Live Washington. What did you make of Russell recommitting, and how big of a deal is that?
Yeah, Kyle Russell is a really, really fantastic shortstop. He also plays quarterback on the Curtis football team, and we'll get to that later in the show. But he's been committed to Oregon since going into his sophomore year, so right about 2 years. And he's been very, very firm in his commitment. I'm sure other schools have come at him. He's one of those type of recruits in the class of 2020. He's going to be at the area code games here later in the summer. I mean, he's one of those type of guys that wouldn't surprise me if he's drafted in the first 10 or 12 rounds a year from now. But when George Horton, you know, was let go, you know, at the end of the Pac-12 baseball season, that opened Kyle's eyes a little bit. I think he wanted to see how it played out. He had a good relationship with Jay Ullman, who was the associate head coach under George, and was the interim coach there for the short time before a hire was made. Jay was not hired and also left the team. That obviously opened the door for Kyle to look at other options. And I think it basically came down to Washington State, which hired its own new coach, and Brian Green, who is at New Mexico State and is a fantastic recruiter. And many people think that in 2 or 3 years, Washington State will be back as a real conference powerhouse. And then he also looked at UW. UW was interested in him very early in the process as well. So He went over to Washington State on an official visit. He was also playing a tournament over there. Met with Coach Green and that staff and was so impressed. Told me he had the same sort of family feeling at Wazoo with Coach Green that he did at Oregon 2 years ago with Coach Horton. And was very optimistic when he came back and talked it over with his family and decided to commit to the Cougars in the class of 2020. So that's a great get for Brian, you know, in the first couple months of his tenure there at Washington State. Now, you know, Kyle Russell isn't the first high-profile athlete to switch schools, but I always begs the question when I see guys that commit somewhere and then change their minds, you know, whether it's they just like a different option or there's a coaching change or whatnot. It always sort of begs the question, does an athlete really commit to a school or do they really commit to a coach or is it a little bit of both? And I think our Dan Dickow would be better to answer that question through his own experience.
So that's interesting because there's so many times that when you're kind of making that decision as a student athlete being recruited in high school to get to college of figuring out what's your relationship like with the head coach or maybe assistant coaches, what's the possible relationship, kind of friendships with the to-be teammates, the players on the current team, how you're going to fit with them as well as where the school fits in and maybe your academic goals. Because let's be honest, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of high school kids who are being recruited don't look at that as importantly or as a big a factor as maybe they should, because a lot of times you're being recruited at a high level, you're thinking, hey, I'm going to make it to the next level and become a professional athlete, where I think you have to take a look at all of them. My personal experience, you know, granted it was quite some time ago, I had a good relationship with a number of different college coaches that were recruiting me, and I felt I could have gone to a number of them. You know, but at the end of the day, I committed to Bob Bender at the University of Washington for a couple of reasons. You know, I felt like he recruited me. He was very honest with me. And then the coaching staff, in particular assistant coach Ray Giacoletti, really made me a priority. At that time, I wasn't thinking about, hey, does the school fit? Does their academic piece kind of fit into what I want to do long range? Again, because I think that doesn't always become an important priority for many kids. But then the interesting thing for me that I think what a lot of these kids don't understand and realize, you are going to be a priority. You're going to be coddled. You're going to be talked to in a certain way during the recruiting process. But you have to understand that's because they want you. The second you're on campus, they've already got you. And now what they're trying to do is make you a part of their team, make you a part of the program, mold you into being what they want you to be. And I saw that pretty clear and pretty evident right off the bat. My relationship with Bob Bender, though it was never bad, was much, much different once I got to campus as opposed to when I was being recruited. When I was being recruited, it was a positive. It was one way. When I was on campus in practice, it was much different. You know, many guys develop a true relationship with an assistant coach who they feel is in their corner, has their back at all times. Unfortunately, Coach Ray Giacoletti, who I mentioned at University of Washington, he left for his own first head coaching opportunity at North Dakota State before I even set foot on campus. So I was in a tough spot in regards to that. Now, with potential changes in the NCAA about, hey, when you can and cannot transfer, in particular when a coach leaves, I think if a coach has the freedom and the ability to move with no penalty imposed on them, if a coach leaves, I think a player should be able to leave no questions asked. Because again, as I mentioned, many times players get connected to a coach or a coaching staff, and that's who they want to play for. They've been sold or told a vision of how they're going to be developed as a player, the type of program that they're going to be in. And they've also, obviously, they've had to have been talked about the school that they're going to be involved in. But I think for the most part, I would say 90% of student athletes, aren't really looking at, hey, this school has the exact degree program that I want. Now it's different if you're talking about a very high-level student who's maybe going to go to a Patriot League school or an Ivy League school, something like that. But, you know, for the most part, when you're being recruited at a high level, you're thinking about coach, coaching staff, fit, and in particular, when am I going to begin to play?
Thanks to Dan for weighing in there. Certainly two big news items. And hey, you know, it's late July and baseball news is still breaking on the high school sports scene. Who would have known?
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
The 4A Greater St. Helens League produced a state champion in the 2018-19 season. That was the Union Titans, and it's a league that has historically, at least you know in the last decade, really been a three-team race for the most part at the top. This year, it's going to be as competitive as ever with those three teams. You have Union coming back, the defending 4A state champs. You have the Camas Papermakers, who won it in 2016 and have been formidable under John Eagle as one of the better 4A programs across the state. And then you have the Skyview Storm, who return much of a very competitive team last year. So just quickly, we're going to break down the 4A GSHL. So what happened last year? So sure, Union swept the league 4-0. They won the 4A state title game. For Camas, it was a little bit of a down year after winning the 2016 state title. Union Camas in week 9 was the league title showdown, and Union ran away with that last year. And Union typically, you know, that's been a great rivalry over the course of the last few years. Skyview, they were competitive despite losing to Union and Camas. They almost beat Camas in week 8, I believe. Their running back Jelani McGee went down with like 6 minutes left in the first half, and he had already had like 129 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Skyview was certainly competitive last year, but you know it went 1-2-3 with Union, Camas, Skyview. That being said, the outlook this year, it's a three-team race, and I think it's even as ever. Union at the top, sure, they probably lose the most. They lose the state player of the year in Lincoln Victor, who is at Hawaii now, an all-state first team wide receiver DB in Darian Chase, who's at Nebraska now, one of the best recruits to, I think, ever come out of Southwest Washington. And then in addition to that, you got 14 all-league selections who graduated. That being said, head coach Rory Rosenbach, he knows, you know, he's one to retool every year. He returns linebacker Tyler Summers, who played a big role on that team last year, defensive back Darian Ulrich Jr. And then they add, who I believe, a transfer from Columbia River, who would have been their best returning linebacker, Logan Wilson. And then another transfer, 6'3 quarterback C.J. Jordan, who steps in from Clackamas in Oregon. So, you know, Union, They're going to have to retool a little bit, but you know they have a state championship winning coach in Rory Rosenbach, and it'll be interesting to see if they can ride that momentum from last year, and some of those guys who are coming back can really step into those primary leadership roles. As far as Camas is huge on the line. They've got the biggest line in the league in the area, with you know Caden Stevens, 6'5", you know, really, really big offensive lineman who's getting offers left and right. They have a returning quarterback who has he'll be a junior, Jake Blair, who stepped in and had some really big moments last year as splitting time at quarterback, including you know almost orchestrating a 31-point comeback against Lincoln of Tacoma in the first game of the season. Camas has, you know, they've got the experience, certainly. They're, you know, well coached as always. But it's, yeah, I really look at Skyview, who returns 21 of their 22 possible starters. They've got the best running back in the league in Jelani McGee, who's rehabbing from that same injury I mentioned earlier, but he should be ready for the season. I expect him to. Then they have the best quarterback in the league, and that's Utah State commit pro style quarterback Yaro DeVolco. So you have all these skill positions. I still think Camas has the best line, but this is going to be as good of a league as there is in the state of Washington. Todd, what do you make of these three schools and what this year is shaping up to be for the 4A Greater St. Helens?
Well, before I answer that question, I got put on the spot last week with the 4A Wesco. I gave a preseason order finish, so before I talk, I'd like to hear how you see it shaking out, and then I'll give you my two cents.
I think Camas wins the league. I think Skyview comes in second, and I think Union is third. And I think it's going to come with, you know, within a game. I mean, they play four league games, and those last 2 weeks, you have a week 8 game, Camas and Skyview at Kiggins Bowl in Vancouver. That's going to be as good of a game as there is in league across the state, I think. It was a terrific game last year. Came down to one touchdown. Both teams injury-riddled. I think Skyview is going to be really, really hungry. They're certainly the most experienced. But I think right now in the end, Camas is going to squeak it out. I could be proven wrong. And this, you know, Union coming in third, I just base that off of experience. So I think it could go one of three ways, certainly. But my pick is Camas and Skyview neck and neck at the top with the Papermakers finishing first in league. Of course, you've got the Union Camas game at Camas's Doc Harris Stadium in week 9. So those last couple weeks are going to be really, really exciting in the 4A GSHL.
I agree with you. I mean, if you look at the three coaches, that set of coaches with Rory Rosenbach at Union, I mean, John Eagle, longtime coach at Cam, and Steve Kaiser at Skyview, all three really good coaches, disciplined programs, know their X's and O's, great staff. So I think that's a wash. I understand Skyview's experience in the skill position. I think that's going to be a handful for any team along the line from week 1 all the way into the playoffs. The team I'm picking to win the league, I'm just going to go back to sort of being on the periphery last year of all three high school seasons at the state level. There was one school that I saw more in all three seasons in a lot of different sports. Basketball, track, wrestling, and that's Union. Union seems to have this nice run of elite athletes with depth at a lot of different sports. And I understand that Union lost a lot of their seniors last year, a great deal of that core group, and I don't put much stock into what I saw on 7-on-7. This is a young group that's trying to form its own nucleus. When it's all said and done, I think that Union will ride that wave of momentum from last year. I think they have one of the best young guys in the state, Merriweather, in on defense. I think Union is going to find a way to repeat and make another deep run in the state playoffs.
You know, this is I like that take out of you. It's a year where it could go one of three ways, and you know, the thing is, I know Rory Rosenbach agrees with you, Todd. I think you know he's really confident with his group, even though he has to do probably one of his toughest jobs of replacing the best two players in program history in Darian Chase and Lincoln Victor, and that's not going to be easy. But
well, the great thing about those three coaches, you talk to a lot of coaches around the state that talk about, you know, you ask them to talk about their team and where they really fit into the landscape of things. And a lot of coaches sort of sandbag, nah, we're going to be okay. These three coaches that you just mentioned, they have no problem telling you, hey, we're going to be factors. We're going to be factors at the league level, the district level, and the state level. And I expect all three of these teams to do really, really well this year. It would not surprise me if all three of these teams, given the way the state bracket breaks and the seeding and whatnot, it wouldn't surprise me if all three of these teams, went as far as the state quarterfinals. I think it's that good of a league, and there's not much separating 1 and 3.
I think that statement can also be applied to our second league, the 4A South Puget Sound League, that, you know, Todd, you're certainly familiar with. Puyallup comes back. They ran the table last year, 8-0, made it to the 4A state semifinals with a really tough loss against Union. But then you've certainly got some depth to that league. What do you see out of the 4A SPSL, and who do you see coming out of that league?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about a league one, you know, it's sort of a top-heavy league. Any one of the top three teams, it wouldn't surprise you if they won the league. I think the same can be said about the 4A SPSL, but I think the same could have been said about this league the last 3, 4, 5 years. And it's the same three teams that seemingly continue to really rise to the challenge and really sort of beat up on one another and contend for this league championship. And all three of them have won games at the state level the last 5 years. And honestly, it kind of reminds me of the heyday of the old SPSL back in the late 80s, early 90s, when you had Curtis, Lakes, and Puyallup all taking turns, you know, winning what I thought was the best league in the state at that time. Now, I'm not saying that these three teams are those three teams. Each one of those three teams won state championships in the 80s and 90s. But it sort of reminds me of that, the consistency that these three programs, and I do stress the word programs, have shown here in the last 5 years. And that's not going to change this year. Now, you look at, it's going to be an interesting year in the fact that those three teams all have different starting quarterbacks. Sumner with Griffin Clark, who's a senior. He's waited for this opportunity. Keith Ross calls him as good a running quarterback as he's had in his 20-plus seasons around that program. It'll be interesting to see how effective he is as a passer in that offense when Sumner, you know, gets behind or needs a big third down conversion. He's been working with some passing gurus in the area. So remember that name, Griffin Clark, first-year starter at Sumner. You look at Graham Kapausen and Nathan Thomas. And Nathan Thomas really showed well in the 7-on-7 circuit here in the late spring and early summer. Andy, you and I both have watched him. And GK went up and won the unofficial state championships up in Bellevue. And then the following week won the UW passing camp. Nathan Thomas really showed well in both of those particular events. I think he made a little bit of a name for himself. So it's, you know, he's not going to go into it as who is this guy replacing, you know, Dylan Morris, who's now up at the University of Washington. So that's a name to watch out for as a passer. And Nathan Thomas, also a senior. And then Puyallup, I mean, the name Holcomb has been throwing footballs for the last 6, 7 years. And this is the youngest brother. His name is Luke Holcomb, and he's a junior. Now, he's not quite the runner and the playmaker that his brother Jacob Holcomb was last year in leading Puyallup to the state semifinals, but he's a smoother, more fluid athlete. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how that translates into you know, passing production. He's more of a pocket passer. He's a little taller, a little more athletic, a little longer throwing motion. But he hasn't been in this position before at the varsity level. So, you know, all three of these guys have some questions to answer at the varsity level. But it's, you know, that's the great thing about programs that seem to find that consistency. You know, all three of these programs have fantastic supporting cast. All three of them have very good offensive lines to protect those quarterbacks. You know, it's not like these three are going to be asked to carry the mail all the way, the entire distance of the season. And they might be asked to later in the season once they get the experience. So, but that's going to be a unique thing about the heavy hitters of this league. Now, how I have it playing out, based on what I saw on 7-on-7, based on the supporting cast, the Ethan Dohertys, the Robersons, the Valentino Hansons in the passing game. GK has three good running backs, some real good experience on the defensive side. a very good defensive line, as good a defensive line as Eric Curley's had since he's been there. I'm giving GK the nod as the preseason favorite in the SPSL 4A, followed by Puyallup, which I said won the league last year and was a few possessions away of possibly playing for a state championship, losing a close game to Union. Sumner's going to get back to its physical rushing attack, which made them very successful 3 or 4 years ago. They missed the state, you know, they missed the playoffs for the first time in 8 years last year. That's going to be a little bit of a bitter pill for these guys. That might turn into some much needed fuel for Keith Ross and his group to make another run. I think Curtis is knocking on the door. I think Curtis is the clear cut number 14. We talked about Kyle Russell. He's a little bit like Jacob Holcomb. He's a guy that can sling it. He's a guy who can run. He's a really good athlete. He's got some really good people in the skill position in skill position groups. But I think the biggest difference between the top three and the rest of the league is big guys up front. Curtis has a couple, but not the depth that those other three teams have. And then you can go right down the list. You know, Bellarmine Prep, Olympia, Rogers, Emerald Ridge, South Kitsap. All of them have, you know, two, three pretty good individual players, but just not the overall depth, especially up front, to really challenge the Sumners and the Puyallups and the Graham Kapowsins of the world. That's how I see it. Who do you think makes the biggest noise in the 4A SPSL this year, Andy?
Well, it seemed like, I mean, you did lend some credit to GK for being, and I'm going to use your words here in a story you wrote in early June, the passing, or the kings of Washington passing league camps. Nathan Thomas and Graham Kapowsin looked really good this summer. I got to say, Todd, a Puyallup team that lost twice against Union last year in the way it did in the 4A state semifinals by a touchdown in almost a mirror fashion of the way it did earlier on in the season in late September to the same Union team. Puyallup gets Union this year October 5th. I just can't see a way in which they don't come back hungry. So I'm going to look at a team like Puyallup and I say they're going to be really dangerous this year. I like them, although I'm not going to discount anything you said. In fact, you are the expert, aren't you?
Well, it's interesting because your league down there, Union wins it, and you pick a different team, and I kind of did the same thing, and I think, you know, we're sort of reminding the other, hey, don't forget about the team that won it last year. Don't forget about the champs in either league. It wouldn't surprise me if Puyallup wins this league. It wouldn't surprise me if Sumner wins this league. I think, again, three physical lines, three big lines, skill position guys on all three programs. It could very well come down to the team that whose quarterback plays the best and most consistent that wins this league. It's that close. So I'm picking GK. You're picking Puyallup, and who knows? You know, knowing our luck, it'll be Sumner that wins it, and Keith Ross can email us both and go, nanny, 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 I told you so.
And then we'll be having to split a nice serving of crow, if that's the case.
It wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time eating crow. So,
hey, you know, it's July 24th, and we might have just previewed two of the most competitive leagues across the state, across all classifications this season. I mean, that's, you know, don't email us. Don't email us at Scorebook Live Washington saying that we're not delivering you some compelling stuff in late July.
Well, and we've got more to come. We've got more 4A leagues to cover. Then we're going to, you know, we'll get into the 3A leagues probably in August. A lot of good information. Hey, we're learning a lot too. It's not easy to try and figure out what makes, you know, 300 plus teams in the state of Washington tick. But we're going to do our darndest and hopefully provide you guys, you know, our readers, our viewers, our listeners, some content, at least on our weekly podcast to digest. With, you know, we're only 5-6 weeks away from the start of football season, so we're not that far away from fall football, and it's going to be another really, really riveting, memorable season ahead.
Certainly. You can find all of our weekly content at scorebooklive.com/Washington. You can find Todd on Twitter at ManyHatsMillis. You can find me at Andy Bueller. And you can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find the Scorebook Live Today podcast. So thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.